are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got another great show lined up for you this afternoon. We have some afternoon baseball going on. I have some late afternoon picks for you. Jim Sonnen is going to step up and in. Numbers fire. We're going to crunch some Major League Baseball DFS for you, give you a little fantasy fix this afternoon. We're kicking it old school on the program today. Larry Merchant, Hall of Fame broadcaster, will join us. And Larry's had a very illustrious career, obviously, inside the square circle. But there's more to Larry Merchant than just boxing, though we're going to talk just boxing. We'll try to get to as much as we can with Larry Merchant on the program. Very fired up about this. Specifically, I want to get Larry's take on this Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight that I am very adamant that will never happen. Okay, so if it happens, I'm wrong. And then I'll just make a ton of money betting on Floyd Mayweather after the fact, and I'll be right when they fight. So either way, I win. But I want to get Larry Merchant's take on this. Is he down for this fight? Is he against the fight? What does he think of the fight? What does he think of McGregor? What does he think of Mayweather? What does he think of Anthony Joshua? We're going to talk boxing, MMA, combat sports with Larry Merchant. Mark Lawrence steps up in it as he does every Wednesday. It's hard to keep track of the days. You know, I keep track of the dates. This is a true story. I've never adjusted my clock from the daylight savings time stuff. Like, my clock is an hour slow. My microwave is like an hour and 19 minutes slow. I've got like a bunch of flashing clocks like in my condo that are all wrong. And, like, you know, I guess I could fix them, but I figure I'm just going to wait it out until the next daylight savings time and I'll be back on track. But I don't know what day it is. I don't know. I'm not good with dates. I used to be. Now I'm not. I'm not good with dates or days or anything like that. The only way I know what day it is by who I'm talking to. So I'm talking to Mark Lawrence today. It's Wednesday. It's Mark Lawrence. Mark Lawrence's playbook, the best in the business. We've got a lot of stuff to break down on the program today. Of course, a game one, Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers. It feels weird to see the Cleveland Cavaliers like as the road team. Like, it's a game. I'm looking, what's wrong with this picture? Is this a typo? Oh, that's right. The Boston Celtics are the one seed. Well, the one seed's actually getting points. And last night was only the third freaking time that a one seed actually got the top pick in the NBA draft, as the Boston Celtics nailed down the top pick of the draft. The Lakers get the second pick, which means you know it's going to happen, man. Lonzo Ball is going to be an LA Laker. He's going to be an LA Laker. And everyone freaking out right now. And listen, I'm not buying his shoes for $495. But don't criticize the game just yet. It's too early, man. It's been a week and a half. You know, the kid doesn't have a marketing campaign. Doesn't have anything going yet. Wait till he's on the LA Lakers. There'll be people willing to shell out $495 because there's a lot of stupid people in this world. All right, so like I said, we got a lot of stuff to get to. We got NHL hockey. On the board tonight, the Ottawa Senators and the Pittsburgh Penguins throwing it down. I see the Senators are home dogs. We'll be taking a look at that. We'll talk a ton of stuff with Mark Lawrence. But let's get started with something that I've been doing recently. And it's really out of character. Defending the younger generation. I am the classic, get the hell off my freaking lawn, you stupid punk. All right? I hate people as a whole. I hate younger people even more. But with that being stated, I'm getting pretty tired of hearing about how today's players suck and they're a bunch of wusses and they wouldn't match up against yesteryear. I've been around long enough that I saw yesteryear, all right? And don't tell me that LeBron James is going to be intimidated by Charles Oakley. Ooh, Oakley. Ooh, Oakley's going to scare LeBron. Ooh, Patrick Ewing. You know, it's funny. We talk about these players now like they're all out there with the best of all time. I remember at the time, man, they were pissed off that Oakley couldn't score and they thought that Ewing was a crap-ass leader and a choker in big games. Yeah, the Detroit Pistons are good. All right, Bill Laimbeer was a thug and they were probably the toughest team of all time in the history of the NBA. I'll give them that. Is Draymond Green going to be scared of that? Like, it's not as if though today's players are a bunch of wusses. They're just a product of the environment that they play in. You know who actually are the wusses? And you know who I dislike more than young people? The media. Fake news. Fake news. Donald Trump is right about the media. Fake news. You're all a bunch of jackals. and the media are a bunch of wusses, all right? Let's be real. Let's be honest for the most part. Most people in the media are, you know, they were the kids that, you know, didn't play sports. You know, normally they're a bunch of geeks that don't understand anything, like socially. They don't understand a locker room. They don't understand how a player thinks. They don't understand the freaking real world. They live in a little media bubble and they think they know everything about everything. Well, they know nothing about nothing. And we're seeing this right now. Kawhi Leonard gets hurt. It was a dirty play. Popovich is just saying that to buy some currency with the league and the refs. He knows it wasn't a dirty play. Kevin Durant himself said, not a dirty play. What did Kevin Durant say about LaMarcus Aldridge? Not a dirty play. What did Kawhi Leonard say about Pacula? Not a dirty play. Kevin Durant had to explain to the media that it's not easy for a big man to be out on the perimeter. It was the same thing when Kawhi got hurt. He said the same thing. You got big dudes out there. This stuff's going to happen. These guys' feet are like size 22. What the hell are they supposed to do? Get out of the way? It's called competing. And the whole LaMarcus Aldridge thing now. Oh, LaMarcus Aldridge tried to injure Kevin Durant and get back at him because of the Kawhi Leonard situation. Kevin Durant said himself after, me and Aldridge are buddies. He wasn't trying to hurt me. It is what it is. It's competing. What are you supposed to do? I'm tired of this crap. I'm tired of this. As much as I defend today's players for being awesome, there is too much freaking hugging going on. They're all buddies. They're all smiling. I want to see some competition. The best playoff series by far was the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics. And why was it the best? Because they disliked each other. They were competing. All right? A couple of guys got ejected. There was the suspension and stuff. Yeah, and that's called playoff competition. We live in a world right now where it's like, ooh, look, he left his foot there. Talk to me when somebody punches someone in the freaking face, right? Talk to me when somebody elbows somebody and knocks their teeth out. And let's talk about it being a dirty play. It's absolutely ridiculous that we're up in arms. Ooh, it's a dirty play. It's a dirty play. It never freaking ends. And the best by far was Boston and it was Washington. And I would expect to see Cleveland and Boston get into it a little bit as well, because the Boston Celtics just have that way of getting under your skin. And as I earlier said, they got the number one pick of the draft again. I think the Celtics are going to be getting under all of our skins for a hell of a long time, unfortunately. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a great show for you. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball DFS. Jim Sonnen is going to join us. Number fire in a couple of minutes. We've got Larry Merchant, Hall of Fame broadcaster and former columnist, actually, in Philadelphia. He used to cover all sports, not just boxing. But Larry Merchant will join us. A lot of stuff to throw at the Hall of Fame broadcaster. There's a lot of stuff to throw at the Hall of Fame capper. Mr. Mark Lawrence, Playbook.com, joins us. Mark, always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Gabe. How you doing?
It's always a pleasure, Mark. Let's get right down to business. Warriors wrecked the Spurs, man, in game two. I know that the numbers and Popovich had a decent record when getting double digits, 9-4, as I saw yesterday, Mark. But it really did have blowout city written all over it. And it was worse than I actually thought. It was roadkill, 136-100.
Yeah, I heard somewhere where they've been outscored like 63 points since Kawhi Leonard went down. Have the Spurs. So obviously some adjustments need to be made by San Antonio. The good thing for them is they're going to have an extra 3 days to prepare for this next battle here. And as you know, as well as I know, they're going to have to take out Golden State for the next five games to win this series, but they got to do it one game at a time. And I think you're going to see Popovich have a game plan a little bit different this for game three than what we saw last night.
Yeah, I think. And last night, I expected Popovich to wave the flag. And it's interesting because he seemed to accept it during the game, but he's angry after. And he was complaining about their effort and about how they went in there knowing they were going to lose and they rolled over. But I agree, Mark. So they're off till Saturday. That's a big break for them as far as Kawhi Leonard's ankle is concerned. Kawhi's as tough as they come. So if it's possible, he's going to get out there and play. I would expect that he finds a way of playing on Saturday night. And opening number, I didn't know if there'd be a number, Mark, because of Kawhi's questionable status, but I see an opening number of Warriors minus 6.5. Total's 212. It's early right now, so we're not holding you to a pick or anything, but from where I'm sitting right now, I think the Spurs are probably a live dog Saturday night after being embarrassed like this.
I saw the 6.5 bubble up to 7 for a little bit, and I grabbed the 7 points, Gabe. It's just too many points to give Greg Popovich in an ugly situation. He was red-faced, embarrassed in his last basketball game. And remember, they've won games without Kawhi Leonard this basketball season, and they've won games in the playoffs without Kawhi Leonard as well. So you're never as bad as you look in your worst loss, and you're never as good as you look in your best win. We've got a combination of those two factors coming together here. I think San Antonio will play Golden State right down to the wire on Saturday.
Yeah, and we'll be keeping our eye on the Kawhi Leonard situation for sure. So, Mark, I said earlier off the top of the program, it feels weird to see the Cavs as the road team, even just in the rotation. I'm like, this is game one, right? Was I in a coma? Did I miss games one and two? Like, because it's game three in Boston right now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Boston's the one seed.
It's ironic you mentioned that, Gabe, because when I pencil out my schedule, and I do it in pencil because I need an eraser, and I penciled in this series here, Boston at Cleveland, just like you said, Boston at Cleveland. Then I looked at the schedule, and all of a sudden the numbers were reversed, and I remembered, you're right, it's exactly right. It's Boston the one seed, Cleveland the two seed, and I'm sure Cleveland might want to let Boston know the fact that they're not happy about being the two seed.
Yeah, it would be nice, actually, Mark, if the Cavs were at home and we were only laying 3.5 right now. Huh? That'd be great.
Yeah, that might be the first half line, but that's as close as we're getting. But when they go to Cleveland, it'll be much more than that.
It was first 4, and it's coming down, Mark. It was 4 right before the show started. I saw 3.5. People are buying into Boston right now. People always remember what they've seen last. I would caution the one cautionary tale for the Cleveland Cavalier backers is the fact that they haven't played in forever, Mark. They haven't played since not last Sunday, the Sunday before that. It's been 11 full days since the Cleveland Cavaliers have been on a basketball court. But with that being stated, is this a trap? Are they trying to reel us in and bet Cleveland? Because people seem to be taking the home team right now. I think it's a better situational spot, quote unquote, for the Celtics. They're hot. They've got momentum. They're playing at home. They were just at home. There's no traveling. They get Cleveland a little rusty after 11 days. But with that being stated, Cleveland's the better basketball team. And tell us about your numbers and LeBron James, how he does when he's not the one seed. Seems to play with a chip on his shoulder.
Big time chip on his shoulder. LeBron James 28-7 straight up in Eastern Conference games when he's not the one seed, when he's taking on the one seed, in fact. So he really rises to the occasion in basketball games just like this. Especially the bigger they are, the harder they fall, philosophy that he uses. And while I think Vegas has packed this number, not packed it, but is it making number attractive? I think they've got some rust factor in there for Cleveland in this line. But remember, that's LeBron James that's going to benefit the most from the rest in this situation here. And, you know, he's 32 years old right now. He's carrying this team on his back once again this year. I think he'll benefit the most with these 11 days off for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's a very good point because they beat the Raptors, and the Raptors weren't nearly as physical as I would have liked to have seen them be. But even with that being said, Mark, the Cavaliers got pretty beat up during that series. Like they did. Kevin Love seemed to have bad luck and knee on knees. He's always like stumbling after a play. Kyrie Irving pushed it pretty hard. You're right. They're going to be refreshed. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I can't bet against LeBron in this spot. The Cavs won 3 of 4. And it's ironic because Boston's the one seed. Remember that showdown on a Thursday night near the end of the year when it was a big matchup for the one seed? Cleveland smoked them.
Yes, they did. They smoked them in a game that they wanted to make a statement in, and I believe they'll want to make a statement here in this basketball game. They've not lost a game yet in the playoffs here. I think they'll want to go undefeated in their own mind, going into probably taking on Golden State for all the marbles here once again this year. I think that'll work in Cleveland's favor in this basketball contest. And as I mentioned here, I think the rest will serve as well. Cleveland, the number two seed, number two tries harder when they take on number one.
There's an episode of The Simpsons when Mayor Quimby's nephew is in court and he's on trial, and the attorney says, let's all bask in Freddie Quimby's general decency. But I want to bask in LeBron James's greatness a little bit. You know, James would be the first player since Bill Russell to play in seven straight NBA finals.
Wow, that's terrific. I wasn't aware of that, but that's up there in class. You don't get any better than Bill Russell, that's for sure.
No, it's amazing. We almost hear the same things, right? Like, well, Bill Russell, he was dominant. They weren't playing against anybody good. And, you know, it's funny because I've been a big LeBron basher over the years. He's really bothered me a lot, and he's just pissed me off. But over the past couple of years, I've turned around. The guy's a winner. What's the worst thing he's done in his life? So he did a dumb decision thing on ESPN. There's worse things, right? The guy's not a bad guy. He's a hell of a player, and you can't argue with the guy's success.
You can't argue with his success. He's going to go down as one of the best five all-time basketball players in NBA history when it's all said and done. And he's also does great things outside of the world of basketball. What he does at the University of Akron, the city, affording kids scholarships and things like that. He's really, really a well-grounded individual who doesn't let his ego get in front of his abilities here. And you know, coming from Cleveland here, I was a little bit concerned about whether his head was too big, if you will, for his body, because it has to be a really big head to be too big for that body. It's a pretty good sized body, but it's not. I mean, he's really well focused, he's grounded, and I think everything he gets coming his way is well deserved.
Last year you played the NBA finals like a maestro. You rode the series odds and the wild swings that it went on. You ended up cashing a nice ticket with the Cleveland Cavaliers to come back, and you positioned it so you ended up with plus money on both teams. That was a great job. It's amazing, Mark. I know the Golden State Warriors are great, and the whole thing is, the Cavs don't play defense. The Warriors are so much better than they are and all that crap. But the Warriors are minus 360 right now. You can get LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the plus 290 range to win the NBA title.
That's awfully attractive. There's no question about that. I'm going to be a little bit concerned, though, because I know there's a big, big revenge factor here for Golden State and Kevin Durant's on the floor with this team as opposed to not being there last year. I think it's going to be really difficult for Cleveland to repeat as good as they're playing basketball right now. I'm probably not going to buy into that. Instead, I'll play that series a little bit more on the game-by-game basis and look for some value and look for that series line to be adjusted as it does. If Cleveland goes down three games to one or down two games net, I'll probably go in for a little bit of value with the Cavaliers at that point, but I'm not going to buy in right away.
Yeah, I like where you're going with that. All right, the Toronto Blue Jays, they won a nice little run. You know, they were a write-off. They're like 10-21. They go on a nice little run. They win a bunch of baseball games. They were on a five-game win streak. They cut it to 17-21. They were only four games under 500, and perfect. You have the Atlanta Braves coming to town. Braves end up taking both games in Toronto. It's a four-game interleague set, two games in Toronto, two games in Atlanta. Now they're in Atlanta tonight.
Yeah, it's a kind of a little bit of a reversal here tonight, but you know, you've got is it Biagini, the young Toronto pitcher, off his first win in his last start. I like fading pitchers like that, and is it Foltovich? I believe that's how you pronounce it for Atlanta. Foltovich, he's pitching a lot better right now than his record indicates. His ERA, his WHIP is really solid. It's really strong. I think he's 1-5 in his six starts thus far this season here. I think this is a nice spot to back the Braves and look for Biagini to come back to earth off that first win in his last start.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, the Braves are a streaky team right now, and they're hitting the baseball as well. You know, they've got some guys. I like the Braves, the season win total over 71.5, but it went up to 76.5, so I backed off. They started out slow, but if you look at their record, what are they, 16-21 now, I think, off the top of my head in that range. You know, they were like 0-6 or 1-8 type stuff. So over the last 20 games or so, they've actually been a competitive team.
Yeah, they've had a winning record here if you combine after you throw that ugly start that they had out to the baseball season. And it's I like the pitching for this team here, too. You know, you've got a veteran in Cologne. You've got Teheran, who's really a solid starter. Maybe not an ace in other staffs, but dependable. He always puts out good numbers. He just needs support. And Atlanta playing as good as they are right now, I think the pressure's on the other team.
All right, the Braves are 4-1 in their last five games. Marquee matchup, Red Sox and Cards. And I swear, Mark, I think the Cards are 7-2 in their last nine. I was on the two losses, one of the games to the Cubs, and then I was on the Cards last night. I was looking good early. They end up losing a baseball game 6-3. Marquee matchup, Rick Porcello, Cy Young Award winner on the Hill. he struggled, but the numbers and the splits compared to the road and the home are amazing, aren't they? 1.82 earned run average on the road compared to 5.52 at Fenway. Leak has been rock solid for the Cardinals. This could be a pitcher's duel here, actually.
I think it could be. Mike Leake's been a nice pickup, I think, for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he'll serve them well all season long. Porcello's got that that Cy Young winner jinx, if you will, on his back, and it hurt him to begin the baseball season here. He was out of form completely in spring and to start the season, but right now he is cooking. He's got 20 strikeouts, no walks his last three starts. He's all over the plate. He's the Rick Porcello we saw last year in form this year. I'm going to back him tonight in this game.
You know what's interesting about this game, too, from a pitcher standpoint? Only three hitters on the Red Sox have faced Leake more than eight times, and only four Cardinals have ever faced Porcello before in their careers, only a couple of random at-bats. So that's why I'm thinking it could be a lower-scoring game. There's not a lot to work from with the batters. Before we get you out of here, Mark Lawrence's Playbook is the best newsletter, but you can sign up for the Coffee Club. It's a daily morning briefing, so to speak, and interesting college football tidbit. You know, the 2018 NFL draft, a lot of talk already, Mark, about the quarterbacks. And Josh Allen, kid out of Wyoming, potential top overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft. And looks like he's going to have some talent around him, Mark. As you write, real young team last year, Wyoming.
Yeah, they played the most underclassmen of all FBS teams did Wyoming last year. That means those young kids are now youthful and experienced this football season here. But what's going to make this thing really work is the fact that Craig Bohl, the head coach for Wyoming, went out and hired his former defensive coordinator at North Dakota State. That was when they won the FCS championship with Carson Wentz, and his defensive coordinator was with the program there, is now going to be with him at Wyoming. That's going to make Wyoming a real sneaky football team this year. If you're going to play season win totals, look for the Cowboys to go up and over their total, especially with Josh Allen, who's really on everybody's radar list right now.
Ooh, sounds like we could have an upset special on September 2nd at Iowa.
Yes, we could. Yes, we could.
What are the points? I want to see a spread now. Give me the points. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. Be good. I'll catch you next week.
Yeah, the Wyoming Cowboys open up. Hey, we're the first ones out of the gate to tell you this. The Wyoming Cowboys open up September the 2nd at Iowa. Josh Allen and the Cowboys are also in Eugene to take on the Ducks on September the 16th. Two pretty high-profile spots for Josh Allen to come out of the gate. Interesting that Mark brings up the head coach from North Dakota State going over to Wyoming. I got to tell you, man, North Dakota State beat Iowa before. They're giant killers. We're going to have a live dog here. I'm really looking forward to seeing the point spread of that Wyoming Cowboy-Iowa Hawkeye football game. College football is around the corner. So is Jim Sonnis. We're talking some Major League Baseball when we return. My favorite part of the job, without a doubt, is the opportunity to talk to the legends that we get the opportunity to talk to on a daily basis. And the man that joins us right now is a true legend, Hall of Fame broadcaster, sports writer, boxing analyst extraordinaire, the one and only Larry Merchant joins us. Larry, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for that gaudy introduction, Gabe.
Well, we would have went longer, Larry, but you know, we only have there's only so much time on the show, right? But we're going to go way back in your career for a minute here, because the NFL draft was recently in Philadelphia, and they did a great job. It was on the steps of the museum and the Rocky moment, and people are like, we got to have the draft in Philly every year now. It was so good. But the NFL draft was in Philly before, and you covered it, and I stumbled upon the story that you wrote and the recollection of it, actually, because they relived it in Philly a couple of weeks ago, Larry. And my favorite part of it was you're standing around with the guys from the Eagles. It's the draft, and you're leafing through college football magazines picking players.
Well, the Eagles were particularly casual about the draft. They had a great success winning the championship in 1960. And they thought they had reinvented the wheel. But meanwhile, a few other teams like the Los Angeles Rams and later the Cleveland Browns They look like they were planning the next war with all their generals around tables and telephones and Rolodexes and so on and so forth. So it was, by current standards, a very primitive time in the evolution of pro football drafts.
I like it. The guys that had their stuff together had Rolodexes. Like, hey, you know what I mean? They came prepared.
Telephones.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason I wanted to get you on, sir, I wanted to get your take on the potential Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor boxing match. And for the record, this is a fight that I'm actually against, and a fight that I don't think is going to happen. I think Floyd Mayweather is sort of playing with them and wasting their time, and then going to say at the last second, nah, I'm not going to do this. But what's your take on this whole Floyd Mayweather versus UFC star Conor McGregor fight?
Well, look, it's an exhibition. It's a show. And there are precedents for it. You know, later in his career, Muhammad Ali made a lot of money for going to Tokyo to fight a star wrestler, and I hesitate to call it a fight, but whatever the spectacle was, it turned out to be a disaster, and even the very proper Japanese fans who filled an arena were booing. So this goes back to the earlier days in boxing, 100 years ago, where fighters or retired fighters would use their marquee names, whether it was to go on stage or to find some wrestler to wrestle. It's nothing new. It's attractive in this case because Mayweather and what's the other guy's name?
McGregor. Yeah, Conor McGregor. Exactly.
they're good at marketing themselves. But as I frequently said about Floyd Mayweather when he, quote, fought, was that the excitement stopped when the first bell rang. And look, there are probably 10,000 guys out there who could beat McConnor in a boxing contest, and 10,000 guys out there who could beat Mayweather in an MMA-style brawl. But if they put themselves in there, and a lot of people are talking about it, and my attitude is anybody's entitled to put up a tent and invite people in, and if they want to come in and pay money and for what is actually a fraud, then, hey, look who's the president of the United States. We're good at putting shows on like that.
Yeah, now you've really seen it all, Larry. Right, the era we're in now. Like you at least you've lived long enough to see it freaking all now, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've seen all the con artists, and certainly, hey, I knew Trump when he was promoting Mike Tyson in Atlantic City.
What was he like then in the early boxing days? Because yeah, you must have come into contact with him often, right?
I don't want to say often, but I did, and he was. I think he was in Tokyo for the Tyson-Douglas fight because they were expecting to put on Tyson and Holyfield 4 or 5 months later in Atlantic City. And look, he's a version of Don King. Say anything you can to make the sale.
Yeah,
and then 10 minutes later, you can say something else if the first thing didn't work. And so they're business guys, salesmen, circus barkers, con artist.
Great comparison. Great comparison. Yeah, Don King and Don Trump, both named Donald as well.
I wonder, do you think there are a lot of people out there in the Western world who are calling their infant sons Donald these days?
Yeah, I think, you know what, actually, I think the term Donald, maybe in the South, it'll stay, maybe in the South, but yeah, I think in the rest of the country. But let me ask you about Floyd Mayweather. He's a lot of things, and, you know, your moment with him is obviously famous, but the one thing that he does seem to respect is boxing history. And I ask you this, would it tarnish him breaking Rocky Marciano's record of 49-0? Because even Floyd said, I'm good. I don't need to break it. We're tied. I'm happy with that. Is it a black eye in getting his 50th win and breaking Rocky Marciano's record against an MMA fighter that's never boxed in his life before?
Listen, how many black eyes do you think boxing has already?
It's covered.
I mean, if it's a black eye, it's another black eye. It will come and go, and if they make hundreds of millions of dollars, everybody will say, well, they put one over.
Yeah, yeah.
And if people want to go, you know, to see a cockroach fight a beetle, then, hey, good luck.
Let me ask you about, you brought up Tyson. Mike Tyson, I read an interview with him the other day. He was praising Anthony Joshua, the 27-year-old British heavyweight champion of the world. Big kid, fast hands, similar story to Mike, has done jail time. Mike was just sort of warning him of the you know, the jackals and the people that have come out of the woodwork right now. Hey, he's 19 for 19 right now, Larry. You've seen a lot of fighters come and go. What's your take on Anthony Joshua?
Well, first, I've read a lot about Joshua in British boxing magazines. I never heard that he had been in jail or prison.
Yeah, he did. He did a little bit of time for, like, nothing serious. It was like marijuana type, marijuana possession.
Okay, well, yeah. I was seduced by him when I saw him a couple of years ago as his professional career was starting to heat up after winning a gold medal in the 2012 Olympics. I spoke to Vladimir Klitschko about him, and Klitschko had sparred with him, and he was impressed by him. He has the look and the feel of a star. He projects that. He's smart. He seems to get everything. I don't think that, I think that the heads up by Tyson is an appropriate thing. It's more about Tyson than this kid. I think this kid is mature and exciting and might be the kind of rare fighter who transcends national borders, oceans, mountains. The last time we had somebody like that was Manny Pacquiao, and then maybe you had to go back to Sugar Ray Leonard and Ali. Those are very, very rare prize fighters who both the way they carry themselves in and out of the ring becomes accessible to people all over the world.
Yeah, Joshua is so well-spoken as well, very eloquent. Just as you are, Larry Merchant, I wish we had more time. We'd love to do this again if you have the time for us in the future. Boxing, a lot of great fights coming up. It's always an honor catching up with you, Larry. I always really enjoy it.
Well, thank you. And this has gone so fast, I'm wondering, when do we start?
Yeah, I know. Hey, I'll be honest with you. When I put out on Twitter today, hey, we got Larry Merchant coming on. Somebody said, hey, Morency, is your show 2 hours suddenly?
Hey, have a great day, Gabe.
Thanks, Larry.
Cheers.
Larry Merchant with us. Yeah, we wish we did have 2 hours. Yeah, we could have went, you know, what are you going to do, Larry Merchant? Could talk boxing all day with Larry. Take a quick break. We'll try to win you some money. MLB DFS when we return. Jim Sonnis, I promise. All right, we have to issue a correction. I knew when I said it to him, like, yeah, he better have really went to jail. But the exact deal is he was arrested, Anthony Joshua. He was charged. He pled guilty. He did not go to jail. He pled guilty and community service, probation, and all that other type of stuff. I believe he was briefly in, like, a juvenile. It was a tough teen growing up type of deal. But, yeah, I was right about the marijuana possession. So we were right. Just, you know, he was guilty, but they let him off, which they should. He shouldn't go to jail for 8 ounces of weed. Like, I don't even think you go to jail for 8 ounces of weed in North Korea. Like, in North Korea, okay, maybe Kim Jong-un's got a problem with it. Or actually Alabama. Jeff Sessions, yeah, that's, you're dead. Like, that's like, oh, no, that's firing squad. Jeff Sessions, you got to follow the law. Let's bring in Jim Sonis right now. How you doing, Jim?
I'm great, Gabe. Sounds like a thrilling discussion leading into this. I feel like I missed something.
I'm sorry to bring you into this, actually, and soared your reputation here.
Like, no, Massachusetts. It's fully legal here. So I'm in Massachusetts, so totally fine here.
I was unaware with that, really.
It was this past election cycle. They legalized it, so you're good here.
Is there dispensaries on the corners yet and everything?
I don't believe so. I don't get out much. I work from home, so I'm pretty much cooped up here. I haven't seen any. If they are there, I wouldn't know of them, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like I might be coming down then after all. Go check out a Red Sox game. Yeah. All right, so all kidding aside, Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey's, I'm not going to say Matt Harvey's smoking weed, but we know he's drinking too much. We know he's out in the clubs too much. That's a fact. But also, I wonder about his health. Like, you know, you want to cut him a little bit of slack, the multiple surgeries over the years. It's going to catch up to any pitcher. And the fact of the matter is, his velocity's not really down that much. I see from 95 to 94, people aren't chasing him. He's not getting anyone out of the zone. But as a betting man, and I just quickly throw it out there because it's an afternoon game, as a betting man, I'm just fading the Mets basically on a daily basis. It's Corbin versus Harvey today. What's your take? How do you think Harvey's going to fare?
Well, as a devout Patrick Corbin truther, you're talking to the right guy here. I am really not in on Matt Harvey. I think that if you look at the strikeout rate, you look at the walk rate, stuff like that, it all says that things aren't going right. And the swinging strike rate, as you can see right there, down to 7.9%. That is well below where he's usually at. Even last year when Harvey was struggling, he was above 10% then. And when you're not generating whiffs and you're a guy like Matt Harvey, who traditionally has had pretty good strikeout rates, it's going to lead to some pretty big issues. And today he's facing a really good Arizona lineup. They can bang against righties, a super high hard hit rate in a place that's pretty good for hitters. I would be pretty worried. Again, I mean, Patrick Corbin, he's a lefty. The Mets, basically all their good bats are left-handed. I would be, I'd be pretty into the Diamondbacks today, personally.
I'll tell you, it's a toxic combination. Harvey's last four starts, he's given up 7 long balls, taking on an Arizona Diamondback team in the middle of in the afternoon out
it's
there.
Hot.
Yeah, all right. Great pitching matchup in the Bay Area here with Kershaw and Cueto. Kershaw actually owns the Giants, 19-9, 166 earned run career. But for DFS purposes, a couple of things caught my eye here. Justin Turner, 9-for-27 in his career against Cueto. And Corey Seager, very successful against Cueto as well.
Yeah, and I think that the thing about Johnny Cueto for this year is that he hasn't quite been as dominant as he has been in the past. It looks like most of his peripheral stats are declining, and I mean, he was awesome last year. And when you can pitch as well as Johnny Cueto did last year in a park that's so good for pitching, you know, as AT&T Park is, then you're going to have success. But this year, things a little bit on the decline. I think the ERA isn't entirely fluky, even though it is a good bit higher than it was. And I mean, the Dodgers are one of the best offenses in baseball against right-handed pitching. Justin Turner has always been a guy, even though he's right-handed, who has hit right-handed pitching well. He hasn't been striking out at all this year. The power, I think, will come eventually for him. So I think those two guys should be able to, you know, do their fair amount against Johnny Cueto. I'm not saying that I'd necessarily, you know, like, be like rushing to use them.
No,
regardless, I think that Cueto has a really tough matchup for today, and Kershaw's Kershaw, man.
And I was looking on FanDuel, though, both pretty cheap because it's Cueto, right? So
yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying, it's a cornerstone of your lineup or anything like that. But a game that, so that's the lowest toll of the board, 6.5. A game that there should be runs put up on the board, a game that you're potentially looking to stack some players, and I'll give you the floor here, the Phillies and the Rangers tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's really both sides. I don't care if it's the Rangers you want to stack or the Phillies. I think they're both in a really good spot. And the Phillies are facing Andrew Cashner, and he's a guy, you look at him, his ERA is 2.43, but his skill interactive ERA is over 6, which is just astronomical. He's not getting any swings and misses. He has more walks than strikeouts. So I think from a game theory perspective, people are generally afraid of the Philadelphia Phillies. That may push me more towards them in DFS because I'd assume they're going to have some lower ownership. So looking at guys like Michael Saunders, who rakes, Aaron Altair, whose price is super high, maybe that could push people off of him. He's been hitting well this year. So I think that the Phillies are in a really good spot. I'm not opposed to the Rangers by any means. I think that they're great too. Looking at them going up against the Phillies, Zach Eflin starting, another low strikeout guy. So whether it's Altair, Rougned Odor, Jonathan Lucroy, I think that you can go with kind of just a full stack of this game if you want. I don't go with full game stacks in baseball like you do in football, but I think this game kind of justifies it with the two pitchers who are starting for the two respective teams.
I'm just wondering how many Zach Efron jokes that this player, this kid hears in the clubhouse and stuff.
Not enough.
Yeah, your name's what? Your first name's really Zach, too? Oh, really, kid? Like, he's a young kid in here, too? Hey, Efron, I guarantee you there's guys in the clubhouse. Hey, Efron. Yeah. One thing about this kid, though, he's gunning for his first win, but he hasn't been terrible. He's given up 4 bombs in his 4 starts, though, so somebody's going to go deep. Rougned Odor, $2,800 on FanDuel. Napoli, $2,900 as well. We got some cheap options.
Yeah, I think you look at Odor's price. That's kind of what draws me towards him. He's a guy who most of last year was sitting around like $3,500, and he's $2,800 for today. I think you get why, because like his raw stats are pretty bad, but his strikeout rate's better this year. His walk rate's better. He has a higher hard hit rate and a higher fly ball rate. Everything peripheral-wise is looking a bit better for him. So, I mean, I always loved Rougned. I'm not going to, I don't want to, talk him up too much considering where you guys are located. Don't want to, ruffle the feathers of Joey Bautista. But regardless, I think he's a really good player, and I think that he's playing better than his stats would indicate this year.
Yeah, we had boxing legend Larry Merchant on a couple of minutes ago. Rougned could have a career.
At right hook, baby.
People have actually said that yeah, he could be a mixed martial artist. Like, there's even MMA guys who are like, yeah, he's, he has it. All right, this is where my gambling sort of comes in when I look at a DFS situation. Obviously, people look at the totals and stuff, and, that's sort of common practice. But the highest total of the board, the Reds and the Cubs, 11.5. But if I look back, Jim, it's amazing. These two teams have combined for at least 11 runs 6 straight times that they played. They don't play low-scoring games. And in fact, they've scored double-digit runs combined 8 straight times that they have played. So it's not just sort of a fluke. It's a pattern here that when the Cubs and the Reds get together, the ball flies out of the ballpark.
And it's especially true when the winds are blowing out to center field at 21 miles per hour, which is the case for today. I think that's why that total is so high.
Yeah.
And I mean, Scott Feldman.
It's like a Coors Field total, 11.5.
Exactly. That's exactly. And it was 12 yesterday. And I think that honestly, the conditions are better for hitting today than they were yesterday. So load up on Kyle Schwarber. I think that he's probably going to wind up as the most popular outfielder on tonight's slate. So from a game theory perspective, maybe you don't want Schwarber. I do. He's been awesome since May 5th. He has just 5 strikeouts compared to 7 walks in that time. I know that he's been slumping, but he hit a dinger like 460 feet last night. I think you put him with Ian Happ, guys like Chris Bryant. If Candelero gets in there, you've got a lot of really good choices in this Cubs team, and you can pay for Gerrit Cole, you can pay for Michael Pineda, whoever you want, if you can get Happ, Candelero, and maybe even Miguel Montero, and maybe get a dinger out of him today if he's in there.
Yeah, Joey, we should know Joey Votto crushes Hendricks, 7-for-11 with 2 home runs in 11 at-bats. Some serious numbers right there. A player that caught my eye, actually, we didn't bring it up in a Texas game today, Jonathan Lucroy is red hot right now. 10-for-19, last 19 at-bats. We're talking about the Cubs yesterday a little bit with Joe Sheehan, and he's saying the number one problem with the Cubs, they're just not hitting the baseball, but that the schedule is softening up. There's going to be some opportunities. We saw that now. We're seeing this now with the Reds. Would you expect this, that the bats with the Cubs start to come alive? Wind blowing out, weather starting to warm up a little bit, the ball's going to start to travel more. Are you expecting the Cubs offense to break out soon?
Yeah, I think so. And if you look at a lot of the like peripheral stats on guys like Kyle Schwarber, specifically at the top of that order, they're a lot better than you would think, you know, based on the way he has been playing. So once Schwarber gets going, he's at the top of the order. I know that Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo aren't making as much hard contact as they did last year, which is a bit of a concern. But if you can get Schwarber going, that kind of has a trickle-down effect. You get more good opportunities for Bryant, more for Rizzo as well. And if, I mean, I'm begging them to keep Ian Happ with this team. I don't know, like, what their thought process is. But dude is so good. And he raked in the minor leagues. He had 9 home runs in AAA before getting called up. He already has 2 in 3 games now. I think if they want to fix those offensive woes, keep Ian Happ up there. I'm not saying this because of the Dynasty League shares that I have of him. Maybe slightly because of that. But I think that that's a good way to cure it, is just keep, you know, one of your better hitters up there in Ian Happ.
All right, we've only got about 30 seconds, Jim. And great stuff, great insight, man. I'm glad you were able to join us. But we talked about Matt Harvey struggling. Jake Arrieta moving forward. I'm in no hurry to back Arrieta right now. I see a lot of warning signs with this guy. Do you agree with that?
I do agree. The ground ball rate is down. The hard hit rate is up. That's scary. The strikeouts are better than they were last year. He's not walking as many guys. But until I see that ground ball rate and hard hit rate start to get better, I'm on board with you, Gabe. I'm pretty wary about Jake Arrieta, and I think that there's legitimate reason to be concerned, even though it may not be as bad as it looks right now.
Yeah, the hard hit rate is extremely high. People are crushing them. They're hitting them. All right.
Exactly.
When they hit them hard. All right, we've got to get out of here, Jim. Great stuff, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you again soon.
There's Jim Saunas with us. Nice guy, eh, Jim? You can just tell. What a nice guy. What a nice guy. Unlike camera two, Drew. I'm going to come back with our plays of the day next. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals from Boston. That's right, Boston. It's very strange seeing Cleveland on the road in game one of a playoff series. We haven't seen the Cleveland Cavaliers play in 11 days. There could be a little bit of rust coming out of the gate. I don't know. Is this a trap? Is the point spread too low? If it's a trap, I'm a sucker because I'm buying in. Give me the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. LeBron James owns. Oh, one seeds in the playoffs. LeBron James owns game ones. Yes, they've been off for 11 days. The Cleveland Cavaliers always sweep games. They're used to these long layoffs. You know, the total might be a little bit high, but you can't be betting on the under. It's not going to be a lot of defense played in this series. For the record, I'm going to wait till tip-off, and hopefully we can get like 160 with the Cavs on the money line, and I'd play that. Ottawa Senators. I think the Senators can beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. I really do. I think this series is going 7 games. Give me the Senators as a home dog, plus 110. Matt Harvey's been brutal. Give me the Arizona Diamondbacks, minus a 140. Dodgers and Giants. We got Kershaw versus Cueto. We got the sun. We're going to have the shadows. I got to go with the under. Yeah, this almost feels like a trap, too. Afternoon game. Let's go under 6.5. Phillies and Rangers. Should be some runs put up on the board tonight. I think the Rangers will put more runs on the board than the Phillies. So we'll take the Texas Rangers and we wrap it up. I don't like laying 70 cents with the Angels, but it's like every night I look at the Angels line. I'm like, I like the Angels. Oh, it's minus 180. But I keep on winning right now. They're hot. Lay it with the Halos. Other night you're on your own. May the winners be yours.